The first cell phone was demonstrated in 1973 by Martin Cooper. You know what wasn't demonstrated? Shared plans. Over 50 years later, you can save on one line thanks to Visible. When you switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless Visible, you can get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for just $25 a month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees. No, really. You can look around for them. They're not there. Switch now at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Contained herein are the heresies of Radolf Buntwine, erstwhile monk-turned-traveling medical investigator. Join me as I uncover the blasphemous truth of a plague-ridden world, that ours is not a loving God, and we are not its favored children. The Heresies of Radolf Buntwine, coming January 2nd, wherever podcasts are available.
Lose all sense of reality and enter another world. Remember, do not underestimate the power of PlayStation.
Beyond.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Podcast Beyond, episode 380. I am one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside he only does everything, Colin Moriarty.
It's good to be here with you, Greg.
It's good to be here. I miss you sometimes.
I know, I never see you ever.
Over here. The best beer in the business, and the never-rotating third chair, the one and only Marty Sleva.
I did it. I came back.
Some said it was impossible.
I know. I don't think I've ever done 2 weeks in a row.
Well, that's all I want to change. You've got to do it from now on. It's your life now.
This is my life. I'm shackled.
You are.
Like Ben Kingsley. Don't think he was ever shackled.
I was going to say, what movie was that? I don't remember.
Gandhi? Did Gandhi shackle himself to anything?
I'm sure he probably did.
Yeah, at some point.
Protest some hunger.
What about the Mandarin? Was he
the Mandarin? He had shackled with rings, magical rings.
That's true. Were they magical? We're talking about Iron Man 3, Mandarin like in spoilers for Iron Man 3. Everybody, sorry.
Deep lore. Yeah, he was a thespian in that movie.
He was. Spoilers for Iron Man 3. Sorry if you're getting ready to watch them all right now.
No,
also, Jesse dies in the original Fast and the Furious. Just letting you know some things that happen in the movie.
I remember.
Colin.
It's the only one I do remember. Yeah.
It's the penultimate episode for you and I.
It is. I love that word.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Some people probably don't even know what that word means.
We warned you, ladies and gentlemen, that Colin and I had quit IGN. We didn't warn you on that part. We told you we quit IGN. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we didn't really give you any warning, actually.
No, that's pretty much the opposite of what we did there.
Yeah.
But then we said we didn't have many Beyonds left. We would inform you so you could prep. You could get questions into beyond@IGN.com. Next week, episode 381, is Colin and Greg's final Podcast Beyond as regulars. I'm sure we'll pop up another time here or there. And then Marty takes the keys and does whatever he does in this speedboat beauty.
Yeah. It's all movie spoilers. It's just all Mandarin spoilers. next week's episode is going to be special. It's going to be a specialer version.
Ooh.
We got secrets planned that these two don't even
know about. They won't tell us what they're doing.
No.
We keep arguing about how we want the show to look, and they're we have plans for it. You can't
secrets.
Do that. You cannot do it that way.
Yeah. No, we promise you following Tuesday, we'll be back up.
Yep.
Yeah, 1 p.m. I can't promise 1 p.m.
No, you can't.
I try to promise 1 p.m.
Yeah.
Somewhere in the world at 1 p.m. this podcast will be a lot.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
At 1 p.m. on a Tuesday.
Yeah. Yeah, so there you go, ladies and gentlemen. Get ready. Obviously, send in questions to beyond@IGN.com. Questions, stories, whatever you want to send in for our final episode so we have stuff to talk about.
Limericks.
Yeah. Don't do limericks, probably.
Don't do a limerick.
I don't feel like that. But, I mean, you know, want to know what's Colin's favorite color. He'll tell you on the final episode. That's the big one.
It's plaid.
It is plaid.
I did like that today your headphones are matching your shirt. That's pretty dope.
Oh, I thought those were your girlfriend's headphones.
They are.
Yeah. Now they're his. He likes them too much.
They just become yours.
Yeah, they're basically just mine now. Yeah. She gets mad at me because she's like, they're gross. I want your own headphones. And
I'm watching Glee.
Leave me alone. So, Marty, before we get into it, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Bloodborne because you went to Japan to see the game. Now, this is kind of a cool – I think that this is the last thing that will – that's what I was telling this to Greg before. I think this is the last thing that will go live on the site other than Beyond, of course, that like I had my fingers on at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And I was glad to see that this finally worked out for you because I was having conversations with Sony a long time ago about getting Bloodborne on IGN first. And it was some start and go and touch and go, I guess you would call
touch
it.
And
then Ryan McCaffrey took it over and you guys took it over and you went there. So how is it going so far? What do you think? I mean, what can you tell us about the game?
Yeah, I alluded at it before. There's a lot of speculation about what I saw when I went there. A lot of people thought it was Gravity Rush 2. It was not Gravity Rush 2.
That would have been funny if you went over there for Gravity Rush 2. That would be kind of unnecessary.
But yeah, it was great. We went to From Software for a day and then Sony Japan for a day. Obviously, the big thing that's currently on the site is the first 18 minutes in full. We snipped out some loading screens. We breezed through the character select screen because we're we're doing something with that later on.
Sure. There's a lot to IGN first. Can you come back to IGN.com on the entire month?
It's a full month. And I don't know how many days are in this February. I don't know how February's work.
28 usually. But is it a leap year thing?
I don't know. It could be one of those.
28!
Not a leap year. Yeah, the first 18 minutes are incredible. Check it out. Obviously, a lot of PS4 owners are very excited for that game. And even if you're not, a Souls fan, you got to look at this because, if anything, it's very pretty.
The soul still burns, Greg.
Yeah. The soul still burns. Mm-hmm. In Bloodborne. No, I wasn't a big Souls fan either. Mm-hmm. Not either, because you are a big Souls fan. I don't know why I said that. I wasn't a big Souls fan.
Yeah.
And playing Bloodborne, I'm totally into this.
Yeah.
And I don't know what, it's a little bit faster.
It is. It's definitely a little bit faster.
The gun helps. Right?
Yeah, the gun helps. The gun's sort of in place of the shield, but people don't have to worry. The game's not easy. The game's not dumbed down. The game's tough. I died a lot. The game's a lot of fun. We have some making of sort of behind the scenes docs coming up. We have deep dives into combat. We have some reveals. I have a big hands on preview going up Tuesday.
Ooh.
That's now. It's up.
Wait, it's up now.
Go read it.
Oh my God.
The future.
Well, finish the podcast or the video.
Please do that. Yeah. That'd be rude. Don't multitask.
Don't be rude. Don't focus rude. On what Marty did.
If there's one thing Podcast Beyond has taught you, just don't be rude.
Don't be rude.
That is one. That is. Definitely the one thing Podcast Beyond. I don't think Podcast Beyond has taught anyone anything, actually, come to think of it.
It taught him what penultimate means.
Yeah. Yep.
And a myriad.
Which means next to last.
It does, yeah.
We never explained that. I want to make
the
sure.
The penultimate
beginning
does.
Of the end.
Oh, my God.
Cool. So, more content for the rest of the month, as IGN first always goes.
Yes.
And then Bloodborne comes out April now, I think, right?
No, it's March.
March?
Yeah.
Oh, March. March.
I
thought it was further away from.
Us.
I thought it was.
No, you're thinking of the Dark Souls collection.
Yeah, right? Dark Souls 2, Sins of the First Flame comes out in April.
Oh, and then The Order is even sooner than that.
Yeah. February.
That's very,
February.
Very soon. Very soon.
Friday.
Yeah.
Trophies are up. It must pass cert.
Friday.
Isn't it?
That's yeah, it is a Friday.
Thought that was a big deal.
That's because 1886 in Braille is Friday.
That. What? Sure. Oh, God. I'm looking at trophies right now just to see if Bloodborne trophies were posted yet. They're not.
Boom.
But Criminal Girls comes out on Vita this month.
What the hell is that?
Oh, God. That game is no business
if
being.
If you purchase that game, you are a criminal man.
Is that the one with the cards that were like.
No, that was Monster Manhunt. And I think they're doing a new one of those, too.
What's Criminal Girls?
It's a dating sim that's like X-rated.
No way.
Isn't it?
I am so excited for Criminal Girls.
Oh, I'll get you a copy of it.
Yes, please. Yes. I'll stream it.
So, yeah. Well, all right. So. Jordan Vincent at NIS posted this. Of course, it's an NIS game because they bring all the niche Japanese games over
for us
on Vita. He says, your team is. This is what the post about Criminal Girls coming out today. I guess it's tomorrow when we're recording it. Your team is being decimated. Everyone's down to 10 hit points or less, but there's hope. One more slash in the enemy's toast. Kisaragi has the initiative, so you tell her to attack. That this is it. I don't want to, and you can't make me. Wait, what? Not really what you expect to hear when you ask your teammate to do something in an RPG, is it? Criminal Girls Invite Only reimagines the obedient teams of traditional RPGs under a new paradigm. These girls don't volunteer to help you. They're delinquent. They're delinquents who have been damned to an eternity in hell. It's your job to teach them the value of hard work and guide them on their way out of the fiery embrace of hell.
Games are
weird.
So
you're just like a corrections officer?
It's like Freedom Wars.
This game. So I don't know too much more about this game. I saw it when it came out in Japan. This game's supposed to be super inappropriate.
Yeah.
So like.
So far it just sounds cutesy-wootsy.
Look
at the art. Cutesy-wootsy art.
Yeah, like, I don't.
Until it gets porny.
I wonder.
porny girls.
Criminal Girls. I'm afraid to even look this up. Criminal Deviant Girls art. Wiki.
Deviant art.
Go right
no,
there.
It just brings it brings it a giant bump. It only goes to NIS, so it doesn't even have its own wiki. That's too bad.
I think you're just trying to paint a too broad of a brush here. This Criminal Girl is going to be a stand-up game.
She's going to be a reformed girl afterwards.
If you say so.
Because we are leaving.
I'll get you a copy from NIS, and then you can tell me.
I will tell you.
The worst. What else is coming out?
We'll talk about
we're
that.
We're not
later.
Even
okay.
nearly there
I thought we
yet,
were there.
Marty.
You just got so excited.
Ladies and gentlemen, excited. If you didn't know, this is Sorry, Podcast excited. Beyond IGN's PlayStation Podcast, the number one PlayStation podcast on the internet. Each and every Tuesday, we bring you an MP3 video file and more on the PlayStation 4 app. For your amusement, go to IGN.com, download it, subscribe, like, share on YouTube.com/IGN. Get the podcast on podcast services all around the globe.
Yeah. We just opened up IGN France.
Did you?
Today.
Cool.
Yeah.
I know that's the one of the few places that IGN didn't have its tendrils in.
So croissants for all. They had croissants this morning. They did not have croissants.
That'd be awesome.
That would have been really good. And sort
everybody
of
has like, yeah, exactly. Everybody has like
everybody
IGN
has a
beret.
Beret.
And they're like, hey,
surely someone
France.
Would have been offended.
I was going to say, yeah, somebody's super offended somewhere.
Yeah. There's a lot of Pablo.
Colin.
Yes.
Let's begin the penultimate episode with what is.
Are you sure this shouldn't just be the final episode?
And forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news.
I'm finding six items of consequence on here,
six
Greg.
Six items of Baker's dozen.
On IGN. Because I don't write the news and do our PlayStation coverage at IGN anymore. I'm not quite as in tuned as I used to be.
Sure.
So I don't know if I'm missing
it. It was also sort of a slow week, to be honest.
I think it really was.
Yeah.
Slow news week, IGN.
But
slow news week, IGN.
Jordan Serrani wrote
heir to the Serrani fortune.
Heir to the Serrani fortune. Actually, I feel like I can find this in a more succinct way. But anyway, so PlayStation Plus, new PlayStation Plus games for February. Very good month for PlayStation Plus. So basically, on PS4, you're going to get Transistor,
great,
which is a super giant or super massive game, right?
Yep.
And then Super Giant.
Yeah.
Yeah, Supermassive is Until Dawn.
It's Greg Kostovinsky.
Yeah, exactly. And then Apotheon, which is a Metroidvania kind of like Roman style, like really weird graphical
style.
Art
style is really great. Yeah.
Played at PSX, a lot of fun.
That is going to be free, and it's new. So when it comes out, it'll come out. It should be out by the time you hear this. It'll be free.
That's awesome.
Not going to worry about the PlayStation Network.
Yeah.
On PS3, you're going to get Yakuza 4 and Thief. Unfortunately, you're not going to get the PS4 version of Thief.
That's
you get the PS3 version
of
Thief. Whatever, it's free. And then on Vita, you're going to get Rogue Legacy and Kickin' Fennec. And the cool thing about Rogue Legacy is that it also apparently will be the PS4 and PS3 versions since they are cross-play.
That game is awesome.
Yeah, no excuses not to play Rogue Legacy now, because that game is really extraordinary. One of the best games of last year. Even though it came out 2 years ago on PC, I don't count it. Until something comes to Vita, it doesn't count.
Uncharted.
Yeah.
Sorry, Uncharted 4.
So that's a nice lineup of games. So yeah, Transistor and Apotheon on PS4, Yakuza 4 and Thief on PS3, and Rogue Legacy and Kickin' Fennec on Vita.
I don't know what a Kickin' Fennec is.
Will though.
Isn't a Fennec like a fox? I don't want to kick.
It's a platformer. I'm not sure it's even out yet. So anyway, I think the star of that is actually Apotheon, because that game looks really, really cool. And that's been floating around like conventions for a while now.
There have been a few games that have debuted as free on PlayStation Plus.
Last month it was Secret Ponchos.
That's right, yeah.
So keep your eye out for that. Hopefully you didn't buy any of these games recently, because you could have saved some cash. But that's always the way it goes. At least they tell you early. Remember back in the day, they wouldn't tell you anything until the games went up.
Yeah.
And then you could have bought it like literally 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, you missed out by like a day.
Jack Trenton left and everything changed.
Things are looking up Trenton. I had a discussion the other day with Jose Otero.
I know him.
He's
a big Amiibo fiend.
Yeah, he is. And we were talking about how he was like, I didn't buy Transistor, and now I'm super glad that it's going to be free. But like he said, when he does buy a game, he feels boned when it becomes free. And I was like, that's such a weird sort of dynamic of like, I never feel like, man, I really wasted my money because I could have waited until it's free. I'm like, oh, this is exciting. If I like this game, now I can tweet out and champion and be like, hey, you all have no excuse not to play this game now. So it's sort of that weird, I don't know. I get where he's coming from, and then there's an apprehension about purchasing things on day one if you're like, oh, this looks like the kind of game that's going to be free a couple months from now.
Yeah, I get that, but I don't know. I always want to support people and who are making games I think are cool,
sure,
right? That I want to be out there right away talking about it, showing it, buying it, giving them money or whatever.
And we don't know the kind of deals that indie developers sign with Sony for PlayStation Plus, and same thing with Microsoft and the Gold games. I imagine they get paid, obviously.
Yeah.
It's not like you could just throw them out there, but you'd have
Sony's
to think.
So he's like, we're debuting this day. We're like, no please. we need the money.
But I imagine it more goes into the developer pocket if you just buy the game. I don't know. I don't know how that works, though. I'm not a business connoisseur.
Yeah. You figure, I don't know. I think it's the cool thing of, like, Transistor, we already know, sold really well. They've talked about that.
Yeah.
You know, 600,000 copies across all platforms or whatever, which is, I guess, just PS4 and PC.
Yeah.
But now they get that second breath, right? It's so hard for games, especially on the network, indie games, whatever, that come out, are the big deal for 1 week, and then the next week there's something else to promote, the next week, and then you forget all about the fact that Transistor comes around. So to have it all of a sudden get that jump start of, like, here's people to talk about this game, care about this game.
And it's great. And then, you know, when March rolls around, it's no longer free. You know, the rest of the year when people are, you know, adopting the PS4, and they're like, hey, what game should I get? If everyone who has PlayStation Plus is like, man, Transistor, that game's amazing.
Yeah.
And, you know, that helps, that gives it a longer tail.
Ah, like a tiger tail.
Yeah, like a tiger tail.
Yeah.
I like the Tin Man.
Where should I go from here? Let's see. I'm trying to look
Some more PlayStation news.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm trying to, like, I'm not really riveted by a lot of this news because there's just, again, it was slow, so I'm not really, I want to go for another heavy hitter here. But
yeah.
And speaking of heavy hitters, new details announced for MLB 15, the show.
Oh!
A segue!
Colin! Colin, he knows how to podcast really well!
I liked that song. That was a good song. Matt Porter from IGN wrote, today fans were treated to details of a whole range of new features and improvements for the game. And I'm just going to hop over the PlayStation blog because they actually have a bullet points here. Basically, I think this is the biggest news for the show. We talked about this on our last week on our own stuff. But the game will finally have year-to-year saves across all the platforms. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people were complaining about – I don't think it happened last year. And I know people have been talking about it for a long time that the MLB games and NHL games and Madden games like will not let you take your saves from year to year. Yeah. And so a lot of people actually buy every other year, every third year, because they feel like they're really invested, especially in baseball when it's a 162-game season and you do Road to the Show and it takes fucking forever.
Yeah.
So sorry, I forgot we can't curse on the show.
It's okay.
So the big thing is that according
to penultimate time doing this,
according to Ramon Russell, who is obviously the community manager and one of the producers, of the, really nice guy over at Sony San Diego, wrote, users who purchased MLB 14 The Show will be able to continue their franchise and Road to the Show progress in MLB 15 The Show with the year-to-year saves feature. Saves between the two versions will be forward compatible, meaning you don't have to worry about starting your franchise or Road to the Show seasons over. That's huge.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's on PS4, PS3, and Vita. So it doesn't matter which version you get, and then gameplay improvements, and it says PS4 and PS3 only. So the Vita game is going to be basically a port with a new roster, probably. Advanced AI logic, upgraded motion system, user-controlled cutoffs, all new slide and tag system, dynamic difficulty, all sorts of stuff. If you go to PlayStation blog, there's a ton of new stuff that they're putting into the game, and it seems like this is the year to do it because they, you know, Sony San Diego, I've always said, is the hardest working and most underrated studio in Sony's family because they have to turn around these games about 9 months.
Yeah.
The PS4 version was obviously in development for a long time, but they had to get it out. It was late, if we remember correctly, last year. It came out late because they weren't done with it. So this is the time where they think they're cramming new stuff into it. So they have graphical improvements and universal reward system, directional hitting interface, a Legends mode inside the show, new suite. So there's a bunch of new stuff getting crammed into MLB The Show.
You know, they're the hardest working studio, man. Sony San Diego loves that MLB The Show.
Yeah, they do. They're real passionate
pour
about it.
Pour over it.
Yeah. And, yeah, like I said, like when I was at Sony San Diego years ago, I guess it was like 2010 or 2011 ago. Now, and all I remember is that there was a couch or even a mattress.
It was
It was a mattress that like is just in the producer's studio that he just like sleeps on, and then like they just never leave.
Wow. It's a Japanese mentality right there.
In San Diego, where they're surfing, they're going to Comic-Con,
yeah,
they're going to Polite Provisions,
yeah,
and that's all. They're in the Gas Lamp, going to Dick's Last Resort. Maybe a Gas Lamp strip club. They're having fun. That's a steak place. It's not really a strip club. False advertising.
We've all been tricked.
I found out.
We've
hard
all
way.
Been tricked.
I saw this. It was interesting news, specifically because Borderlands 3 was teased or at least announced in some preliminary way that they're going to start.
Hey, we want to work on it. We need your help. We need people.
So Brian Albert, our good friend Brian Albert, wrote that the lead writer of Borderlands 2, Anthony Birch, is leaving Gearbox to work on a new comedy show for Hulu.
Yeah.
Birch announced the news today on Twitter, later adding that he'll continue to do, quote, do video game stuff on the side, end quote. So he's basically leaving the studio at the time that they're announcing, you know, what they're going to do next with the game. And it'll be interesting to see someone else head that up and see if they can retain the humor that he obviously nailed in the Borderlands franchise. Although I guess
he only did
two and then helped with the pre-sequel.
Yeah, for pre-sequel.
But I mean, this is one of those fascinating things we always talk about, in the fact of, you know, Anthony Birch starts really on YouTube with "Hey Ash, what you playing?"
Yeah,
and then spirals out to do this, and now he's
goes
off
to
doing a show,
and then that, that's awesome. Yeah,
I forgot the destructive part, right?
Yeah, and he, I mean, it's definitely, I understand why some people might be worried about three, about the tone of three.
I'm sure,
but I bet when they you know announced that they were hiring for three, I can't imagine the like quality of resumes they got. So I've no fear that game, you know.
You put a bully mong in there, you talk about balls, you got a game. That's it.
Also, if they haven't started the game yet, that's going to be a while
until we play that game. Randy just announced it on stage, and everybody's like, time. I guess we got to start working on this. Okay. Can we get some production art or something?
So last week, there was exciting news going around about something called Project Z.
Project Z. Zombies.
I don't remember this. Or Project Z, if you're
Bees.
British.
Bees.
The game is Spelunker Z. Okay. And it's a new game coming to Japan, so it's, as usual, 95% of the time anyone gets excited about anything coming out of Japan, it is always a disappointment.
Oh,
and I don't mean that in the sense that the Japanese games are bad. I mean that two or three times a week, someone's like, something's getting announced in Famitsu. Something's getting announced here. Let's get excited. It's a new Dragon Quest game. Yeah. Oh, Square's doing something silly. And then it always, always ends up being a disappointment. Correct?
Yeah.
It's like when it's like when Final Fantasy VI went to iOS, or it's just always
Final Fantasy VII coming to PlayStation.
Yeah, it's always It's always something. That's why I don't get excited anymore about it. Like I'm, I'll just wait and see what happens.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there's the language barrier and all this kind of stuff.
Shell of a man. So, you burned too many times. You burnt?
Jordan Sirianni times. Wrote, over the weekend, Square Enix unveiled the mysterious PlayStation 4 game Project Code Z as Mina de Spelunker Z.
Sure.
Coming to Japan March 19th as a free-to-play game for PlayStation 4, Spelunker Z includes six-player online multiplayer character customization and, for the first time in the series, pets.
Oh, sick.
According to Famitsu, translated by Gamatsu. Being free-to-play, certain items will be available to purchase using real-world currencies. For those unfamiliar with the series, the original Spelunker was released in 1983. The 2D platformer later came to PlayStation 3 as the reimagined Spelunker HD and went on to inspire games such as Spelunky. So we are following that so far. Spelunker Z is being developed by Tozai Games. So this isn't Spelunky.
No.
It's Spelunker Z. And so Andrew Goldfarb has nothing to be excited about.
He's heartbroken.
And again, this just goes back. It's just like... This is cool. This is a cool announcement. I'm sure people in Japan are excited about. People here are excited about. We'll see what happens. But again, it just reminds me of like, because the it's the same thing with the 2 from Metal Gear Rising when everyone thought that. And it's like, something's always coming out of Japan. I'm like, yeah, this is the one. Project Z. This has got to be a big thing. And no.
Remember that trailer we talked about like 2 months ago? Or is that like weird first person thing with like the plant and the castle in the background? Yeah. I got all excited. And what the hell?
It looked like, what was that plastic game?
Wait, the one
we thought it was.
Datura.
Datura, yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, this looks like Datura.
Yeah. If you're playing Colin and Marty Beyond Bingo, we mentioned Datura.
There
so
you
congrats.
Go.
Congrats.
Yeah. Second to last story is by Tom Regan, who I guess
Ronald
is
Regan's son.
Ronald Regan, yep. Kojima wants an open world Metal Gear Solid remake, is the name of the story. But do any studios want to make it?
Yes,
is
they
the subhead.
Yes.
Hideo Kojima has expressed his desire for an open-world remake of the original Metal Gear Solid for PS4 and Xbox One. During an interview with Japanese publication Famitsu via DualShockers, Kojima was asked if PS4 owners would ever be able to play earlier titles in the series and responded that he was too busy to man such a project. Elaborating further, Kojima revealed that he would love to play in an entirely open-world reimagining of Shadow Moses, which sounds awesome, but doesn't have the manpower to do it himself. Yet, sadly for Metal Gear fans, Kojima also confirmed that no other studios have stepped forward and offered to remake the original. Now that the Metal Gear creator has stated his desire for an open-world remake of the 1998 classic, only time will tell if a studio will take him up on the offer. This story neglects to mention the fact that Metal Gear Solid was already remade once, and I'm kind of curious if Kojima just hasn't put it out there enough or given enough time.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure that there is a studio that would be desperate to remake Metal Gear Solid, whether it's a big AAA studio or some smaller, you know, double-A indie studio.
August 13th, 2014, Gamescom 2014. Kojima's still interested in Metal Gear Solid remake. When asked if he's still interested in a potential remake of Metal Gear Solid, game creator said, personally, I'm not too fond of remakes, he said on his Twitch channel, but I would have to go with Metal Gear Solid 1. Then he goes on the same thing. And this is a follow-up to a June article in which he said the same goddamn thing. Here we go. June 25th, 2013.
Whoa,
Kojima
traveling.
Seeking studio to remake Metal Gear Solid in Fox Engine. Kojima, try harder. Put out a wanted ad. We all want this.
Get on stage with Andrew Goldfarb and
come
announce
on,
it.
Hideo. Yeah, exactly.
Just announce it and say you're hiring.
We want you
so
to make this
what
game
what studio
happen.
Would you want? If
Silicon Knights, just
I was going to say. Yeah, bring it back.
God. Who has an open world pedigree?
Sucker Punch.
I mean, Sucker Punch, yeah.
Yeah.
Bethesda.
Bethesda would be interesting. It's got to be good combat, though.
BioWare.
Yes.
Arcane. After that, Dishonored.
Arcane, yep.
Sure.
Yeah, I think that, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of different options. Yeah, it's funny, because Metal Gear was remade. It was remade by another studio, so it's, yeah this is unprecedented. But I didn't realize he was talking about it so much. I know that he was talked about how he wanted to remakes in the past, but I never heard anything about like an open world slant. Although
That's new because now we're talking about Metal Gear Solid 5, and we understand that's how that's going to be.
But if it's in the Fox engine, I guess that's kind of implied.
Fox, die!
So that'd be interesting. I love the original Metal Gear Solid, and I think that Shadow Moses is awesome. The enemies in that game are awesome. That's still the best roster of enemies probably in any of the Metal
Gear
games.
Your boy Decoy Octopus.
Decoy Octopus is the best. You only see him once.
Yeah. The DARPA Chief.
DARPA Chief.
Also, we sort of—I mean, that one sliver of Guns of the Patriots is sort of a Guns of the Patriots is the fourth one, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Metal Gear Solid 4, Guns of the Patriots.
You go back to Shadow Moses there, and you sort of feel for what a PS4 Shadow Moses is.
Sure, that was amazing.
Yeah,
that was the one where I always talk about that story, right? Where I had to drive around. Jeff Haynes is like, two copies are coming in for Metal Gear Solid 4 today. You're taking one home. I'm going to take one home and play some of them. Great. They didn't come in.
Oh.
So like 4 o'clock, we're calling. Konami, we're like, where are these things? And they're like, it says it's delivered. And we're running around IGN's old Brisbane office. No sign of this thing. So we call them. We're like, no. And they give us a tracking number. Call FedEx. And they're like, okay. And they look and like, oh, we dropped it off at the wrong place. We dropped it off at this address.
Sure.
I reverse search that address. I find this place. I call the place. One guy answers. I'm like, you got some packages for us? He's like, yes, I do. He's like, we will put them back. And I'm like, I'm not letting you put them back into FedEx. I will come to you right now.
Yeah.
So I drove like a bat out of hell, got over there, got him, got back, dropped him off,
how
went home at
night.
It wasn't bad. No, it wasn't. It was further south on the highway, but it wasn't bad.
Yeah.
Then ran home, played that game till I think it was 2 or 3 in the morning, came into work, was like, I can't use it's everything I want out of Metal Gear 4. It's tying up all the loose ends that Metal Gear fan like myself would have. And then I'm like, take it home that night, and I'm like, I'm only going to play. It's like 11 o'clock. I'm going to droopy eyed. Like when they're doing like the installs and snakes, like smoking
a
cigarette.
Yeah.
I'm like nodding off on the couch. I'm like, whatever. And at 11 p.m., I'm like, I'm going to go to bed. And that's when he's like, we have to go back to Shadow Moses. And I'm like, what? Because my favorite Metal Gear at the time. This is a pre Peace Walker world, don't forget.
Peace Walker.
Yeah. And so then, I played it again until 2 in the morning, just playing through all this stuff. I was so happy to go back. Those are the days, Colin.
Didn't put it on your top 25 PS3 list.
Well, now we're gone, and you guys can do whatever you want to that list.
Ultimate.
I'll be interested to see. I've thought about that. That I'm intrigued to see how the Vita, PS3, and PS4 list.
We've talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Without us, surely they'll change pretty significantly.
Sure.
Didn't it already happen? I thought they put one up that was like had other voices than just you and I.
We did that last year, but I was still in there.
Yeah.
And I wheeled with an Iron Fist grip.
He was mean in that meeting. Yeah.
Everything was quite democratic when we did those. More than ever. Oh, God. Jesus Christ, you got pretty excited about
bottle,
that.
It looks like I can't tell if it got damaged in transit or what, so I was trying to straighten it back out, but that doesn't work.
Well, no. So,
good thing I don't work here anymore, huh?
Just leave it there. Who do you care? When we used to do the PS3 and Vita list, Greg and I, and then we got Clements and Goldfarb back in the day, we would talk and basically just be like, it would just be like, well, this is where this is, and we would argue and talk, and it would just kind of be the list. We wouldn't really vote on anything or like really... There wasn't like fierce arguments. It was just like you kind of had it's a compromise.
That's because Goldfarb was meek.
Exactly, he's very meek. But when we did it last year, it was extremely like by the books democratic.
Yeah.
I remember.
We got into certain things, and you were like, "Well, I don't necessarily agree with this, but you guys do." So
yeah,
we're doing it.
Yeah,
you're great.
So now I'll see. Yeah, now that I'm not, God knows what's gonna happen to Resistance.
The fall of man.
Final story by Brian Albert. Report: Netflix predicts 4K capable Xbox One and PS4 coming this fall.
I disagree.
Netflix predicts Microsoft and Sony will release 4K friendly versions of the Xbox One and PS4 this fall, according to a report from Forbes. Last month at CES 2015, Netflix CPO Neil Hunt said Sony quote unquote promised a hardware revision for the PS4 that will include 4K video capability. Full context from the Huffington Post story quoted by Forbes follows. Quote, aside from the lack of screens available to buy right now, there is also a dearth of set-top boxes capable of showing 4K HDR. Hunt said Sony has promised a new hardware rev for the PS4 that will eventually include a 4K video capability, and that would, quote-unquote, expect eventually for it to support HDR as one example of where the industry will seek to catch up. But in the meantime, any HDR TV will probably have a Netflix app built in, Hunt said, which solves the problem for now.
I wish it was Max on Netflix who leaked this story.
Oh, that guy's
what are you
weird.
Looking to watch today?
What are you buying?
Also, I heard the Xbox One and PlayStation 4 are 4K capable TVs by the end of the year.
You left your front door unlocked.
Max. Hey, I'm Max.
Max is scary, though.
Yeah.
He's stupid.
Let's see. That's it.
Do we have any news about Game of Fire coming to PS4?
What is Game of Fire?
That thing that they keep having commercials for.
Is that Game of War? Game of War.
The Kate Upton one?
Yeah, that was called Game of Fire.
No, you're wrong.
Is it coming to PS4?
No way. Kate Upton the money means you can't develop for PS4.
She only does commercials for mobile games.
She has her standards.
So many commercials.
Liam Neeson, he agrees as well.
Yeah, Leslie Nielsen.
Yeah. Don't call me Shirley.
Nope. Or else he's going to murder you for taking his daughter.
Marty.
Yes.
Super stoked for Bloodborne.
I am.
But it's not out for a while.
Oh, no, it's not till March.
If I want to know what came to the mom and pop shop this week, where would I go?
The Andrew Goldfarb Memorial of Video Games Softwares that are coming out soon.
It's close enough.
We're close
enough to the end now, Greg. Where you know what? Just make it what
go.
Make it
whatever.
What you want it to be.
It's like jazz.
It means whatever the hell you want it to mean.
What is that supposed to mean? Apotheon comes out digitally on PS4. The gods of Olympus have abandoned humanity, leaving you to perish without their benevolence. Take up arms against the gods, climb Mount Olympus, and take their divine powers for yourself to ensure mankind's survival. Sounds very familiar.
What is Apotheon, God of War?
Apotheon is a fast and brutal 2D action game with a striking art style and heroic narrative based on ancient Greek mythology. Criminal Girls Invite Only is available digitally in retail on Vita. Welcome to Hell. As a program instructor, it's your job to rehabilitate a special group of criminal girls.
This is the second description of criminal girls we've read on the
show. So they can atone for their sins and return to the mortal world. Motivate the girls, defeat convicts, and reach the top of the Hellspire. Can you coach these girls to work together and make it to the very top?
So this wasn't...
Greg's gonna find out.
This wasn't the game I was thinking of, but this also sounds pretty gross.
What's the game you're thinking of?
I can't remember. I think it was an iOS game.
I want to play that game, too. I want to play all these games.
I want to play all of them.
If it's a gross game, Greg Miller wants to stream it.
Game of Thrones, a Telltale game series, Episode 2, The Lost Lords, comes to PS4 and PS3 digitally. Kick and Fennec comes to Vita digitally. This game is going to be free. For people that don't know, I've seen this game before. Kick and Fennec is a smooth and easygoing platform adventure about Kick, a little boy with a very big gun, and a small flying robot named Fennec. Dare Great Heights and time your jumps just right to accomplish incredible feats. I'm not crazy about that sentence.
Dare Great Heights. Is it Clements?
Probably not.
Clements, take some pride in your work.
King Oddball comes to PS3 digitally. This is already on PS4 and Vita, I think. Real Fishing Masters Challenge. Remember the other fishing game that came from Natsume that came to Vita and everyone hated it?
How's real spelled?
You know exactly how it's spelled. I'm not even going to tell you. Natsume's best-selling Real Fishing series comes ashore in the biggest real fishing game yet. Real Fishing Masters Challenge. For a reason you can't quite explain, you've been drawn back to the fishing lodge you used to visit as a kid with your dad.
You're telling me, man.
Once the novice watching your father fish, can you now take the challenges put forth by your father and become the fishing master yourself?
What if this had like a really like powerful moment near the end of like the unexplained reason you were brought back is... That
Grandpa's
you died,
funeral.
You died
or
as a child.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
You're the nationwide kid. I would have been a master champion at Real Fishing, but I died.
I'm excited about this one. Risk is coming to PS4 digitally. This is already on PS3. I think it's probably the same version we used to play back in the day.
Yeah.
That's fun. Risk is a great game.
Yeah.
SpongeBob Hero Pants comes to Vita digitally.
So show me the trophies.
I'll bring them up.
Thank you.
And. Finally, World Hunter comes to PS3 digitally. Experience the realism of international hunting with World Hunter. Pursue bighorn sheep, white-tailed deer, doves, and coyotes. Hunt winter or fall seasons in the rugged Rocky Mountains of New Mexico, the Canadian Rockies, and the exquisite Cordoba region of Argentina.
Damn.
I mean, this is like, that's a loose definition of world.
Now let's see. Do we have trophies for SpongeBob yet?
Of course we do.
Nope, they're not.
God
up yet.
Dang
let's
it!
See.
PSN profiles.
I'm gonna go in here real quick. SpongeBob SquarePants Plankton's Robotic Revenge. That's an old game.
I don't want old games. I want new games.
No.
If you go to the games list, the newest games that were added were the Criminal Girls.
Criminal Girls. How hard is that platinum going to be?
Criminal Girls.
Let's see. Prison Break.
People already got it. Look at that.
So these are all.
It's out in Japan though.
It's been out for a while. It's cleared. Turned into blah 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 blah. None of this seems incredibly unusual.
Just long. It's probably long.
I'm sure it's an NIS game. I am sure it's long.
I've been hearing a lot about the Criminal Girls game being hard.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, there's no new trophies really added lately. Ironclad Tactics still there. Citizens Earth. So yeah, that's it for games.
All right.
I will say the game right now that I want to talk to you guys about is still Dying Light. Because I like it very much.
I like Dying Light a
lot.
You've
been playing it? Yeah. We've been playing it too. We're fans.
Yeah.
Speaking of Dying Light, Gregway.
That was a difficult page turn.
Eric from Hawaii writes into beyond@ign.com just like you can. It says, Greg, Colin, and the ever-rotating Marty. I can't seem to wrap my mind around the fact that there is no parkour down button in Dying Light, the zombie game that proudly flaunted its parkour mechanics. Now, I'm not very far in the campaign. But I've seen enough gameplay footage of Crane, awkwardly jumping off buildings to reach ground level. The player is dependent on piles of trash, cars, softened roofs, and even the heads of zombies to break their fall. I realize that buildings in Dying Light are nowhere close in size to those of Assassin's Creed games, but I still think the folks over at Techland should have learned a little something after Ubisoft suffered years and years of the same traversal issues. Dying Light, in my opinion, is not a broken game, nor does it need a meaty patch to fix any ongoing issues. I'm sure Techland is hard at work trying their multiplayer servers up to par. My two questions are, though, for those of you that played Dying Light, have you found similar frustrations with the controls in traversing the city?
Are we answering that question?
I'm reading the other. He says two questions. That's one question. Then he goes, thank you for everything. Longtime listener, first time writer beyond. Greg, Colin, Tim, and Nick, best wishes to four of you and your endeavors. Reach for the stars. You fall. There's no question here. This is just talking. So Eric from Hawaii has one question.
Can you reach for the stars? Yeah.
What will you do now that you don't have jobs? So I
you're looking at it.
What have you been frustrated at
no,
all?
No, I think it's weird. It's weird to sort of compare it to Assassin's Creed because AC didn't get a downward parkour button until Unity, which was in November, and obviously this game was in development right alongside Unity, considering it came out a month and a half later.
What's I don't know the button from Unity.
So Unity it has a separate go up parkour button and go down parkour button. So for the first time in the series, there was an actual elegance with getting down from a high building.
Gosh, it wasn't just stumbling around.
And it looked really cool, and like the way the towers were designed, like you'd look like a chimp swinging downwards. Mm-hmm. And so instead of just being like, well, I'm going to jump off, hopefully I hit a haystack, or hopefully I have enough health to survive the jump.
You can actually get down
from buildings.
Got it.
I haven't had that problem in Dying Light yet.
Yeah.
I think the movement feels great.
I'm blown away by how good it feels for first person, because I liked Mirror's Edge, but Mirror's Edge for me felt clunky in terms of that.
Yeah,
and maybe it's because I couldn't wrap my own head. It's a shortcoming of me, but like this one was easy to jump into and figure out and go from, and I really don't find myself falling off and getting hurt that much.
Yeah.
When you're up super high, like you're taking out a radio tower or whatever, you're like, okay, now we're at the trash bag. I get that.
Yeah, but
outside of that, I think it's been okay.
Yeah,
it was... When Greg, I wasn't paying attention to this game at all. I couldn't care about this game less when it was announced. And I'm not a huge Techland fan in the sense that, you know, I played Dead Island for a couple hours and I'm like, I don't really like this game. The one thing that stuck with me in Dead Island that I always made fun of it was like how many suitcases are there to go through in this game. Like it's just, there's constantly things to go through in this game. It's insane. Like, and I'm glad they dialed that back for sure. But that stuck with me. I was just like, there's other things I want to play. I don't want to play this. And, I walked into this game knowing Techland did it, and it's zombies, and I'm sick of zombies and all this kind of stuff. But it's like the game is really good. And when Greg described it to me as like Dead Island meets or like Fallout or whatever open world game meets Mirror's Edge, I was like, that sounds terrible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was like, that sounds awful. Why would I want to go in an open world where I'm like, it's like parkour? And it works really good.
Yeah.
The game feels good. I like how it's asymmetric, and you're not really supposed to fight. Or you should be scared to fight.
Sure, yeah.
Being out in the truly terrifying to be out in nighttime. Like it like I'm actually like really terrified about it. I don't want to turn my flashlight on and like draw the enemies towards me and stuff like that.
I'm a total coward. Seriously, I'm like, not anymore. Yeah. They're like, double XP. I'm like, I'm good. Nope, good.
I'll just grind during the day. I'm fine.
Let me get a really cool weapon one day and then I'll worry about it.
I've been caught away from my safe house a couple times because I get like real bold and like, and I try to get back and it's like.
Have you not gone out and cleared all the safe houses?
Most of them, not all of them. But
that was like one of my first things when I was like free. I'm like,
but you could see like those enemies walking around and you could see like where they can see.
Yeah.
And so you're just trying to avoid them. And it's like when they see you, it's just like terrifying.
Yeah.
Like you would just like just start running.
Yeah. You can
and
hear them
know where you're going.
You.
And you're just
I'm
just going to keep going. Yeah. I love that tension, that risk reward. I don't know how much Don't Starve you guys played.
I played a lot.
But it sort of reminds me of like when you set up camp at night, you're like, well, how far can I push this?
Exactly.
Out?
Like, I don't want to put any more wood in the circle. You get closer and you know they're getting closer.
I'm liking this. This is probably the most surprising game for me since Wolfenstein in terms of like a big AAA game that I was not on my radar, and all of a sudden I'm like, I'm having a really great time with this.
So we've been talking about it, and you know, someone had tweeted at me that exact thing is this year's Wolfenstein. I was like, that's a great point, but I think I really liked Wolfenstein. If it wasn't for that, I gave Wolfenstein I think a 7.8. If it wasn't for that just awful intro, that's just terrible
really
40 minute intro, I would have probably given it maybe an 8. And I feel like Dying Light's in the same space for me, even though I only played it for 10 or 12 hours. I don't think I'd slam a score on it quite yet.
Yeah.
But I get really good vibes of it. It's one of the few games in recent memory that I think about a lot when I'm not playing it and that
you
I want to play a lot and that it just is scratching a very specific itch for me right now. Like, I don't know what itch it is because I don't even have... I play a lot of open world games and I don't have necessarily that itch because it's always being scratched. But like the
constant scratching.
It's just constantly being scratched by a disc, which is weird. And I just really enjoy it. I also think it's very pretty. And I was showing when I was playing with my girlfriend, I'm like, look how good this looks. Because I was like, the day night cycle is slow in the game, and which is cool. I like that. I don't like the day night cycles that are like really, really rapid.
Yeah.
And the way the shadows move on specific things depending on the time of day is really good. The game is really good looking. And the draw distances are beautiful. The game, some people have complained about technical issues. I have not had any technical issues with the exception that I got caught in an environment once and I had to restart.
Yeah.
But the game's always saving, like constantly. I'm actually surprised by how, like, what it saves.
Yeah.
And like how often it saves, so I didn't really lose any progress when that happened. And I don't want to excuse that. It sucks that happens. But yeah, it's it's a really, really good game. I really highly recommend it. It's a nice early year game. It came out at the perfect time.
Yeah, totally.
That's the big thing.
And I know a lot of people were concerned about it, that it it was released, or journalists got it and critics got it so late, and that's a terrible sign usually.
Yeah.
But it, and that's why when that happened, I was like, Jesus, like.
Yeah.
Let's see what this thing's gonna be.
And I was so impressed by it. I really there's so many games I want to play. I still need to beat like Citizen to Earth and Ironclad Tactics and a bunch of other games, but now I'm like really, really into this game.
Yeah.
And so I think between now and like when the order comes out, or you know, whatever game you're looking forward to, this is a good time waster for sure.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if this would have came out in like October, it just would have got smothered between Mordor and AC and Far Cry and Sunset Overdrive.
But now,
yeah,
great example of a game. Getting
January.
Here, having a chance to January.
Yeah. You can play in the Ides of Feb.
Let's talk about another new game, Marty.
Yeah.
Greg writes in.
Greg Rice.
No, just Greg.
Okay.
But it's weird that he says his name is Beyond Greg, but he puts in a question mark next to it.
Maybe. Is this like you from the future?
He's not. I forgot who I am. Anyways, Greg says, Beyond!
Yeah.
Beyond.
Hello, Greg, Colin, and maybe Marty. I just picked up Life is Strange today, Friday. I never really heard anyone talk about this game, and I totally love it. Did this game not get good hype? Have any of you played it, and do you like it? Beyond, Greg?
Well, he's confused.
He's confused. Very confused about who he is. I've played it.
I played it, and I take offense that he said it did get good hype.
You were the one who came back telling me about it, I remember. And put up an article.
Yeah, and we covered it. I think it was revealed at Gamescom, and Brian Albert wrote, he sang its praises in a written piece, and we did videos on it.
Yeah.
Came back from New York Comic Con talking about how I liked it.
What do you think of the final product?
Episode one is good. I really love the premise. So if you guys don't know, this is an episodic adventure game, sort of in terms of mechanics akin to a Telltale game.
Sure.
It's a teenage girl's kind of coming of age story. So there you get the gone home.
Yeah.
But it's also about time travel and sort of these weird supernatural sci-fi mysteries and the ability to, well, this is how I handle the situation now. What happens if I go back and choose to do something differently?
Right. Rewind time. She can rewind time. She's the Prince of Persia. Princess of Persia.
She's John C. Braid.
Did you guys use that as your strap line? That's
we
a free
should
one.
Have. That's a really good one. Yeah. I don't know.
What'd you do instead?
I don't know if our review's up.
Strange.
It was going to be me, and then I got sidetracked with things.
Okay.
I think it's sick. Yeah.
And things.
Things and stuff.
Okay.
One qualm I have is the writing isn't. I hate like knocking someone else's writing because I'm like, I've never written a game.
This is
I'm
potential.
Not. Yeah, no, yep. I just it comes off as disingenuous sometimes.
I played it and I was super excited from what you guys talked about. Jumped in when I got my code early. Was playing and like as soon as like they gave me control and like I looked in her backpack. I spent like 30 minutes reading her journal.
Yeah.
Like every page of it and then reading every character about it. I'm like, this is awesome. This really is so cool. And then when I got into playing it, I kept getting that like not that like the edge of my mind right. There's no heart. There's something's missing. Yeah. Something's off, and I can't put my finger on it. Yeah. But at times, it just feels too mechanical.
Yeah,
I'm not lost in like it doesn't look great in that. But that's not what I'm arguing about. But it's just like it feels very, very much like I'm in a game the whole time. Where I'm not like seeping into the experience and getting lost in it. If that makes sense.
And it just doesn't. I mean, the fact that you know this is anchored on a 15-year-old girl.
Yeah.
It feels like it's very tough to rein in the voice of someone going through, you know, what everyone goes through at that time in their life, unless you've been there.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the folks that don't not have been there. It's a French studio.
Yeah.
These are guys that did Remember Me.
Yeah, they did Remember Me, and they just announced some spooky game, too. They just showed the title. Vampyr, I think.
Yeah, yeah. So it's cool that they're continuing to go because of – don't like – it seems like they're going smaller. Vampire Shrek?
Yep, thank you.
It seems like they're going smaller. Remember Me, of course. There's a really fascinating story behind Remember Me because it was supposed to be a PlayStation exclusive that was then.
Oh, really?
That was then that Sony then walked away from, and then Capcom published it. People didn't really like it. I thought it was fine. I mean, I beat it. I got the platinum trophy in it. I mean, it was a fine game.
It's a game I would have liked to see a sequel of. Like, hey, fix everything I didn't like about this.
Yeah, it's cool. Like, I liked the protagonist a lot. I like that again. They're concentrating on a female protagonist, which I think is pretty cool. It seems like they're toning it down a little bit though, and like making smaller games. And the episodic game, I think, if your game is good, this is the danger. Like, why I'm interested to see how this goes with games like Resident Evil Revelations 2, and especially a game like Life is Strange that is not a Telltale game that is being done episodically. Is how this game does, because it can be disastrous or very lucrative depending on how people enjoy the first one or two episodes. I know that the second episode comes out in March, so they're doing more of the Telltale kind of approach as opposed to Revelations, which is all coming out within a month.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting and I think dynamic thing. I just hope that I want to play the game to see how it feels episodically. Like Resident Evil Revelations 2 to me was that was like a either a well-kept secret or something that they decided to do really late to make more money off the game. And I want to see if this is one of those games or if this game feels like it should be episodic, because I think a lot of studios are going to start doing this. You know?
I think it's meant to be episodic.
Yeah, I don't
the
think
ending, the way they build up and they end on it, it's like, this is clearly like your cliffhanger, like what you're going to happen next time.
I think with the Telltale comparison, the reason those have been so successful is that because, by and large, their inaugural episodes are fantastic.
Yeah.
I mean, from Walking Dead to Wolf to Borderlands and Game of Thrones, they hit on such a hard, like, awesome note. And yeah, like, all the seasons have had slumps. And, you know, Wolf and Walking Dead Season 1 have definitely had slumps in my mind, but it sold me on that first episode. And I'm going to keep playing this, because I really do like the world, but I don't feel like the first episode hit quite as hard as a Telltale game. And I hate making the comparisons to, you know, I hate the crude, like, it's Walking Dead meets Gone Home. Like, I don't like doing that. But
I mean, it is what it, I mean. I do think that begs the comparison.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, what I can say about it is I enjoyed myself, and I'm going to play the rest of them. It wasn't like I got turned off to it, but it was just like, eh. But there were so many parts that were really good to it, and there were a lot of interesting, like, I felt like they didn't pull a punch or something on, like, you know, this girl who's hooking up with this guy, or, like, you know what I mean? They could have done, like, a real PG way, but they made it. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is actually what I think high school, I remember high school to be
like. Yeah, and there's, like, a scene where, like, one of the girls just, like, lights up a joint and lays on her bed, and it's just like, oh, like, this is the, like, possibly the most realistic drug use ever in video games, where it's not like, mind-altering, everything's changing. It's just, like, a natural thing in this world.
I do like that everybody's got some kind of horrible skeleton in their closet or whatever. Like, everywhere you go, you're like, oh, jeez, guys.
Is anyone in this town just normal?
Surveillance photos. Yeah. Like, oh, God damn it, people. You psychos. We've been talking some Telltale there. Mm-hmm. So let's jump over to Elijah Steele, a.k.a. Loco Lizard Man.
What?
Loco Lizard Man slithers
in. Wait, lizard
or
wizard?
Lizard.
Oh.
Slithers in and says, dear Greg, Colin, and
do that ever,
Marty.
That's me.
Yeah, he said something insulting. I'd cut it out.
Wow.
Anyways. I know I'm in the minority, but I'm not a Game of Thrones fan. So the Telltale Game of Thrones game means nothing to me. But I am a Borderlands fan, and Tales from the Borderlands was the best Telltale game I've ever played, at least so far. So why do you think we are getting a new episode of Game of Thrones, even though Tales of the Borderlands came out first? I can't wait for more from Reese/Troy Baker. Am I saying that right, Reese? Is that what it was?
Reese.
Yeah, thank
like
you.
A Reese's Pieces.
Been a while. Or like Kyle Reese.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah, the creator of the Reese's Pieces. He time traveled.
That's what he did.
Yeah.
In Terminator Genesis.
He had to say.
He gets here. There's no Terminator. He's like, well, I'll just make Reese's Pieces. I guess. I beat that to the punch. Why, Marty? What's going on with Telltale? What are they doing here?
That's an interesting question. I was confused about that. As someone who was on the review for Borderlands, I was fully expecting to review Borderlands Part 2 before Game of Thrones Part 2.
Yeah.
I think it's different development teams. I feel like maybe, you know, both episodes of Game of Thrones, maybe they were done quickly. And also, it's a 6-episode series, so maybe the development's a little bit different on that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is anything to worry about. I think it's just different
it's
teams.
Telltale being Telltale, I think.
Telltale being Telltale. And I know
Telltale going to Telltale.
This is the first time, I think, anything's ever lapped another series.
When you're talking about, like, Wolf and Walking Dead, when they
were
going,
like, when they were going, they would still, they would go back and forth, but there would also be long delays where, like yeah, like, I mean, it's like back and forth. It's like a child trying to walk across a plywood table.
Understood.
In our podcast room.
That's exactly what it's like.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think, I think it's just the way things are is the way things are. I don't think, it's definitely nothing to.
So you're not reading into it that Borderlands fell behind schedule, this happened here,
I mean, maybe it did fall behind schedule, but I'm not too worried about that because I'm like, hey, episode one was fantastic. So
take your time.
Yeah. As long as the quality's up to episode two, you can. I'm a guy. I'm not worried about the
lace.
I'm a guy who likes the lace.
Does this speak to your apprehension with playing Telltale episode to episode? What, you wait for everything usually.
Yeah, I usually wait, and I don't care about the Tales from the Borderlands, so I'm not going to play that. But Game of Thrones is I will play when it's done, when all 6 episodes are out. But yeah, maybe it's a scheduling issue or a scheduling issue if you're British.
Scheduling.
Yeah, if you're George R. R. Martin.
Railroad Martin.
Yeah.
Nite writes in and says, greetings, Greg, Colin, and Marty.
Yeah.
And Beyond from Israel.
Beyond.
I just finished Shovel Knight's story and started New Game Plus. I love Shovel Knight and just want more from Yacht Game Studio. And wondered, after that awesome ending and post-credits scene, which we're not going to spoil here, I realized a sequel would be a really cool idea. What do you think? Good luck with the thing you guys are doing and have a nice week. Nite.
They'll do a sequel. Yeah. I don't know for sure. I mean, I just think that the game begs to be a sequel. It's inspired so heavily by Mega Man, which is about like Mega Man is self-referential in the sense that it's like it just keeps going over and over again. And like the, and I think that they have a, you know, Yacht Club has a great opportunity to make a sequel and improve on the game like Mega Man 2 did on Mega Man 1.
Man,
so
I can't even imagine how you improve on that.
I don't either. I mean, I say up and down Shovel Knight was the best game of last year.
I love
and
it.
And I think that, you know, it's a game.
Yeah.
It's a game. You know? Greg.
I've never heard of these.
Yeah.
And
video game?
You know, it's coming out soon. I think that, you know, they're a very small studio and they worked really hard on Shovel Knight, and I don't really have any inside information for you guys other than to say that, you know, they're working on porting the game. I don't think that they'll work on the sequel until they port something else. And I also know that they have a strong desire to do something else. So, so we'll see. But I've talked to them about a possible sequel before, and we've had some interesting conversations about it. So just in the sense that I talked to them, really nice guys over there, and was like, you guys should do what Inafune did with Mega Man 2 when, and going forward when you let the fans design the knights.
And
then you pick your favorite ones and you bring them into the game. Because remember that all the from Mega Man 2 on forever until 9 and 10, I think, all of the bosses were designed by people like that just played the games. And I think that's so awesome. That's lost on a lot of people that there's like a really cool...
crowdsourcing. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, like synthesis before that was really possible.
Way before that happened.
And like that's pretty extraordinary. Like basically people would send in their ideas for Quickman or Airman or whatever, and they'd be like, this is really cool. And then Inafune would draw it.
That's so cool.
Like redraw it to fit the style.
Yeah.
And so I think that would be really cool for them to do that for Shovel Knight.
Yeah.
Two.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, I don't I do think we'll get a Shovel Knight 2, especially, I mean, it's being ported to, you know, to Vita, and obviously
we're
getting Kratos, or Kratos.
Yeah. No, Kratos.
We call him Kratos.
Yeah.
Kratos.
Kratos.
Yeah, I mean,
it's Yacht Club Games, right?
Yeah.
Yep, Yacht Club Games.
He left it out, so I was just making
and
sure.
And those guys, you know, some of them worked at WayForward, which, of course, is a studio with exceptional old-school pedigree, DuckTales Remastered, and most recently Shantae, which is Pirate's Curse, I think, is the most recent one, right? And that game, I think, is coming to Vita, too. So they you would assume that they're going to make another old game. It's just a matter of whether they make a different old game.
But I would I would also, as much as I want a Shovel Knight 2, I would love to see them just do something else.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sure there's...
Take that pedigree, or take that sort of like reverence for the 80s, and not just like in a kitschy way, which a lot of people do, like, hey, it's a pixel art, and you got some
loops. You got the pixel arts over here! Spider-Man!
They seem to fundamentally understand what made those games fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's the best part about it, is that it's not just an 8-bit game that's 8-bit to be 8-bit.
Yeah.
And, you know, I would like to see them... Yeah, I would like to see them even jump forward. I would like to even see Shovel Knight 2 be like a Mega Man X game.
That would be if Shovel Knight 2 was like a 16-bit game.
Yeah.
Oh man.
I mean,
Colin, you just did it.
But they have an engine.
Yacht Club, you heard it here first.
No, we'll see. We'll see what happens. I'm sure that they're tired of. You got to balance it. Like, I'm sure they're tired of Shovel Knight in the sense that they've worked on it for so long, but at the same time, they were overrun with people at PlayStation Experience, like more than any other indie dev by far.
Yeah.
For people so excited about that game, and it's like, well, if I were them and I identify that, be like, we should make the sequel now.
Yeah.
You know, like now and get it out by, you know, in a year.
What if it's a prequel but it's built upon the TI-83 engine of a calculator?
That'd be great.
That'd be insane.
That's how I used to play Drug Wars.
Yeah.
Remember that game?
Oh, man, Drug Wars.
Yeah. Drug Wars. And Mario. Rob from England writes into beyond@ign.com just like you can and says, dear Greg, Colin, and Marty, Beyond. From jolly old England.
Oy.
A couple of years ago, you said how you were expecting Uncharted 4 to be... No, weeks ago. I mean, I was like, what? A couple of weeks ago, you said how you were expecting Uncharted 4 to be delayed until next year. See, I confused those lines. And then it got me thinking. When it was announced Tomb Raider was going to be a timed exclusive for Xbox One, it was rumored that this was done so it didn't clash with Uncharted 4 on PS4. With the expectation that Uncharted won't be out until next year, do you think Sony are regretting the decision, the decision to delay the PS4 Tomb Raider? Or... do you think this will get just pushed back more? So he's asking, did Sony make a mistake? Is Sony regretting pushing Uncharted into the Tomb Raider time frame?
I don't think that Sony had anything to do with that.
I mean, I don't think anyone's pushed anything.
Yeah, I mean...
and also this, like, trust me, this we don't think it's coming out in 2015 thing is just opinion.
Mm-hmm.
This is not based on...
educated
sort of
Greg Miller opinion is what it is.
Yes,
yeah, exactly. They haven't identified a date yet, which is interesting. I mean, I know that when Uncharted 2 and especially Uncharted 3 were, like, we knew the dates this far out.
Oh, really?
So, remember, like, the one...
remember the,
like,
VGA reveal for Uncharted 3, right?
Where, yeah, which was like, 11-1-11 or whatever.
Yeah.
The
They didn't like that. That put them under the gun, and then it was
exactly. So I agree with you that it's totally possible that that happens. I think that they'll know more. I think that they'll know in September, like really close, like September or early October. They'll be like, we're going to push the game. I think they're going to try. I think they're trying. I don't think it's one of those cagey things though, like where it's like with Arkham Knight, where they're like, of course the game's not coming out this year. But there's a few things in there that need to be addressed. First of all, Sony. We don't know still the exact nature of that Tomb Raider exclusivity. And I like, to me, it seems like something that Square Enix and Microsoft would have worked out together to, with the knowledge that Uncharted might come out around the fall and that Tomb Raider would suffer on PS4, which made the decision easier to make it an exclusive on the other console. Because if you own a PS4 and Uncharted and Tomb Raider come out in the same month and you have $60, you're going to buy Uncharted.
Yeah,
I really can't imagine anyone's going to be like, well, I'm going to buy Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that Tomb Raider is going to be a bad game or that the other Tomb Raider is bad. I'm just saying Uncharted is like almost unbeatable. So if this Uncharted 4 game is as good as Uncharted 3 and Uncharted 2 were, then the choice is made. So it doesn't hurt Square Enix or, you know, whoever, you know, in terms of the publishing rights for the game. Yeah. But Sony certainly didn't have any say in that. I'm sure that Sony would like the game as soon as possible. I still don't quite understand the nature of the exclusivity because this was the big story out of E3, which is like exclusive doesn't even mean anything anymore. You know, like I remember when they announced that and I'm like, they're going to make a Tomb Raider exclusively for Xbox?
Yeah.
I'm like, that's cool. I mean, that makes sense because they don't have a game like Uncharted.
Sure.
And even what was really cool was even Phil Spencer was like, we don't have a game as good as Uncharted. I mean, he said that.
Yeah.
Not those exact words, but that's he said something along those lines. Yeah. Like, we don't have something of this caliber was basically what he was saying.
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
Like Marty.
Well, you guys remember that quote, right? What did he say? He said something like that.
I'll look
it
up for you.
So it would be cool for them to have that. With that said, I don't think the timing is consequential to Microsoft or Square Enix or Crystal Dynamics. Yeah. So,
I mean, it's also funny because we've at this point, we've seen a lot more. I mean, I guess not a lot more. Just because of the PSX demo, we've seen quite a bit more of Uncharted 4 than we have of Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Right.
Like, we don't know what that game looks like in action. All we still have is that CG trailer from E3. And so when is the, you know, if that game is a fall game, if it's an October or November game, which I would imagine they're going to try to space it out from Halo, which will, you know, undoubtedly be a November game. You know, when are we going to get that re-reveal? When are we going to see gameplay? Are they going to wait all the way till E3 and then, you know, have just a four-month preview cycle until it gets released in October? I don't know. I found that hard to believe, and we don't have a lot of big events until E3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, there's PAX East, but there's not a lot of.
They're not going to make a giant announcement.
Yeah,
there,
there's GDC. I guess
you get GDC stuff every.
Yeah, like I think one of the Battlefield 4, I think had a big
PlayStation
GDC
Move.
I found the quote.
Rest in peace, Phil Spencer. Talked to Eurogamer in August of 2014. Quote, do I wish I had an owned IP first party action adventure game? Absolutely, but I don't right now. And speaking of Tomb Raider, this is one that fits well. Then, I'm a big fan of Uncharted, and I wish we had an action-adventure game of that ilk. We started some, and we've looked at them, but we don't have one today of that quality. This partnership with publisher Square Enix is an opportunity.
Yeah, so interesting. It's in that, I mean, he's very candid.
He's a good dude. I love
this.
Respect
about
Phil
him.
Spencer.
Taking
that Shuhei Yoshida.
Plus, he brought iDarb over to Xbox One, which which is that crack.
Yeah, I think it's real good.
Yeah, real fun.
It's actually a hashtag. I don't know if you. It's like hashtag Drive Club. We need a hashtag game.
Steve writes into beyond@ign.com just like you can and says, "Dear Greg, Colin, and Marty, my favorite game of 2013, without a doubt, was Gone Home. It resonated with me in ways I never thought could be possible from a video game, so naturally I was elated when it was announced that it was coming to consoles early last year. I was more than happy to buy the game again to support the fine folks at Fulbright, and the allure of trophies didn't hurt either. Fast forward to today, and there hasn't been a single word of the status of the console versions. Do you think they're still coming? As much as I'd love to revisit the Greenbrier home on my PlayStation 4, does releasing a game like Gone Home on consoles in 2015 still make sense, or would Fulbright be better off putting their next game, Tacoma, on consoles instead?
That's a good question. Greg.
There's a lot to unpack
you
there.
Revealed.
I did, up at noon.
News. Yeah.
IGN's talk show. Squawk show.
Yeah, it's just going to be a bunch of birds.
Yeah, the problem was that we revealed it along with Cosmic Quest 2,
yeah.
along with it all being part of Midnight City,
yeah,
which is now pretty much defunct. Casey Lynch is gone from there. A whole bunch of other people are gone from there. I don't even, have they officially shuttered the label?
I know Majesco had a lot of problems. I don't think I don't know if the label shuttered, but yes, there's trouble.
So that's where it's all. They got Costume Quest 2 out, and then everybody who was behind the label really seems like they left. At least the figurehead, the people we talked to.
Yeah, I think that's the problem. Is that Gone Home was going, as far as I understand, after you revealed that Gone Home was going to come to Wii U first, as far as I understood, and then it wasn't never officially announced for any specific console other than that, I think. But that it was coming to console.
Right.
And so I agree, Gone Home is an extraordinary game. And I think a game that good, that is also takes place, that game also takes place in the 90s, as far as I remember.
Yeah. Super NES.
Is there's no timely or lack of timeliness with the game. Fulbright's not bringing it over themselves, which is why someone else was publishing it. So I don't think it's really, I'm sure it's in their hands, but I don't know if that's like in their best interest. Gone Home did fine on PC platforms. Yeah. I think it can find a home on consoles. Sure. I think Gone Home will come to console. I think that the port must have been in progress. I think that it's probably in limbo right now. I don't think that it just needs a home. It needs someone to pay to distribute it.
Yeah, I think the reason you're sort of mentally tethering it with Wii U is because the game was built on Unity, and Wii U had this indie initiative where they really pushed, like, hey, like, Unity is super easy to develop for on Wii U, and here's the games that are coming to it, and Gone Home was one of them.
Yeah.
So I think that was the first console that was officially, and we all assumed it was going to be PS4 and Xbox One as well.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, porting games isn't, you know, right click save as and change the
be
file
nice
extension.
If it was, man.
Yeah. But you would imagine that, yeah, that game sold really well on PC, has amazing word of mouth. Like, why wouldn't they put the time and effort to have a porting?
Someone will
do
pick
this?
That up and do that.
Yeah, absolutely. Whether it's Midnight City or not, because they may not exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, it remains to be seen. But I imagine Fulbright proper is still working quite hard on Tacoma.
And I don't think that'll come day and date or anything with consoles.
No, I mean, yeah, so few of these games are. Like Vanishing of Ethan Carter, which is, I mean, in the same ilk as Gone Home, came out a couple months ago and is coming to PS4, supposedly first quarter, but, you know, we don't have a date.
I'm excited about that. I'll play that.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, we've both seen Everybody's Gone to the Rapture and are quite excited about that, which is another game of the same ilk.
Yeah. You keep saying ilk.
The Witness is an ilking game.
I'm Jonathan Blow, and I want you to know that.
What you need to be excited for is the Talos Principle. When that comes to PS4.
Yeah, I heard. I don't know if I've seen anything on. Yeah, I've
Everyone
heard that name.
It,
yeah, it's awesome.
What is it?
It's a PC. It's a walking. It's more like Portal. Where it's a puzzler game.
Oh, dear.
But it's really layered with philosophy in a really good way. So if you like philosophy and Portal.
I like philosophy. I'm terrible at Portal.
Okay.
Terrible.
So you should have Greg could take care of the Portal parts.
You can explain the philosophy part.
You can
to
explain
me.
The Nietzsches.
Yeah, okay. That works for me.
Absolutely.
To Nietzsche, right.
I love that very much.
That was good.
Nietzsche.
You're good. I like you. Colin, time for our newest, favoritest segment, Worst PlayStation Network Name of the Week. As you know, Colin,
yes. You
can't change your PlayStation Network name.
I know.
A lot of people complained about this. We started having you write in with your bad names. Then you would beg Shuhei Yoshida to let you change your name. And then it just became you guys go and play games and send us ridiculous names you see. So that's what we have today from Steven. Steven writes in and says, Gray. Swing and a miss right out of the gate. Gray, Colin, and Marty. Beyond.
Beyond.
First of all, let me say that I find myself saying beyond to myself alone in my car while listening to the podcast, and that's not why I'm writing today. I personally wouldn't change my boring PlayStation Network name, but playing around on Destiny, I have seen some bad ones, notably Fish Fetish and Tart 17.
Nope.
That is underscore Tart 17. Imagine I gotta bleep that. 1, 2, 3. Anyway. I love the show, and we'll miss Colin and Gray. My name is not Gray on Beyond, but trust Marty to hold it down. Shuhei
like
Yoshida,
Gray Davis.
Let these people change their names. Like Gray Dust?
Gray Davis.
Yeah. Oh, Gray Davis, yeah.
Yeah.
I knew who that is. I just didn't understand you.
The Gray Davis!
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Podcast Beyond, episode 380. Thank you so much for joining us on this wild ride alongside Marty, Colin, and myself. Remember, Podcast Beyond is a product of IGN.com. It comes out each and every Tuesday as an MP3 and video. You can pick it up on YouTube.com/IGN, IGN.com for the MP3 and the video, the PlayStation 4 app for just the video, and then podcast services around the globe. Colin and I no longer work here, and next week, Podcast Beyond episode 381 is our final episode.
The ultimate
episode. Yeah. After my 8-year run on the show comes to a close, 380 episodes later, 380 weeks later. So make sure you keep up with us on Twitter. I'm Game Over Greggy. Colin is No Taxation. Follow IGN at IGN. Follow Marty at McBiggity, 2 G's, 2 T's.
Yes.
Marty.
Yeah.
Every episode of Podcast Beyond ends in a song and a segment we call Ryan's Wrap Up. Today's is submitted by Eden the Cat.
Oh.
Friend of the show.
You like that.
Does Eden a whole bunch of podcasts on her own. We're always on them. She says, hey there. Just shooting you this message since you were a big help with the promo of Amateur. That was her last album. On Sunday, this is old now anyway, my band Orphan Mothers is releasing their second single, Take, and then parentheses, or Give a Little, off our new album, Hindsight. The album will be out on February 17th and is available to pre-order here. And then it's orphanmothers.bandcamp.com. Anyways, I've attached an early copy of the single. Please don't share it until Sunday. We're past that. Shut up, Eden. Hope you enjoy it. Eden the Cat. She said love to.
I've heard the song. I like this song.
Okay, good.
It's a music video for it as well.
This is the first time I've heard a song that we've featured before the episode.
Wow.
I feel like a time traveler.
What about that one time when I posted an episode whatever and it was just a Beastie Boys MP3?
No, I can't stand it. I know you're playing it.
I'm wasn't as great as Watergate. Eden, we love you to death. It's our honor to play your song. Take, parentheses, or Give a Little off of your new album, Hindsight. Ladies and gentlemen, if you like it, go pre-order it at orphanmothers.bandcamp.com. And until next week, beyond.
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 Here's a quick question for you. How did you sleep last night? If your battle for a good night's sleep feels relentless, I have the answer. It's a podcast called Sleepwave, with meditations and hypnosis created to help you fall asleep. My relaxation techniques will help you feel calm and ready for sleep, with soft music that will help you fall asleep in minutes. Most listeners never hear the end of an episode. So search Sleepwave on your favorite podcast app and find out why over a million people have fallen asleep to my voice.
Hi, I'm Alexis Ohanian. You may know me as one of the co-founders of Reddit, but more recently, a large part of my identity is being a father to my two wonderful daughters. In my podcast, Business Dad, I'm hoping to open up the conversation about balancing careers and family. The one thing I constantly hear successful people say, without fail, is that they wish they'd spent more time with their kids. That's time no one can get back. So I decided to create Business Dad, to engage in the conversation about how we're spending our time now, providing a forum for successful dads to share their joys and challenges of being a working parent. You'll get to hear from a wide range of business dads, from Rainn Wilson and Guy Raz to Todd Carmichael and Shane Battier. And while this podcast will talk about business and will definitely be featuring dads, I think everyone can learn something from these incredible conversations as we unpack the expectations we all have about careers, relationships, and ourselves. Business Dad is available now, so be sure to listen and subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.